How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone, there's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much, where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL, that's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs, and then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL. What's up, you guys? Welcome to FIGHTFUL. It is now November 24th, 2024. Here to talk AEW Full Gear. You're going to get the most exclusive news anywhere right here on the FIGHTFUL Post Show podcast. If you are new here, on youtube.com/FIGHTFUL, or a number of Twitter channels and Twitch and all that stuff, our sort of media hub, FIGHTFUL.com and youtube.com/FIGHTFUL, has live post shows almost every night, whether it be Collision, Dynamite, or Raw, SmackDown, NXT, ROH, TNA, pay-per-views. We got it all. We got daily news shows, shorts from live events, as well as interview clips, and some of the biggest interviews in the game, including Kenny Omega just last week. Man, I am so excited to talk AEW Full Gear tonight. This is the most amped up I have been to talk about AEW after a pay-per-view in a while because, man, this was a long show, and it was a show that delivered. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a nice fruit emoji. And, you know, let us know that you're here. That's what we like. But I'll tell you what else we like. If you want your questions or statements read on the air, donate a Super Chat or a Humper Chat. Super Chat here at youtube.com/FIGHTFUL. Or if you're watching on one of those other platforms all over the place, you can go to humperchats.com. That's hump like a camel's hump. HUMPERchats.com. And our great moderator, Luis here, will collect those for this fantastic show. I want to thank Manscaped, NordVPN, and BetOnline for sponsoring this show. Greatly appreciate it. FightfulSelect.com. I'll tell you all about that as we go through the show because we got lots of scoops courtesy of the best $5 in the business, FightfulSelect.com. So if you like wrestling news, you like additional podcasts, we got a bonus post show right over there. At FightfulSelect.com. We're also going to give you whatever details come out of the scrum. Lots of stuff like that. Man, just very, very excited to talk about this because lots to get into. Ryan Lambert jumps in and says, how much Riz would you give this show out of 10? Oh, as far as Riz, you got to give it a 10 out of 10, my friends. There's no other option. No other option there. Man, I had a great time talking with you guys on Discord, on Blue Sky, on Twitter, about this show. If you haven't, follow us on all those platforms, but let's jump right into the show. Deonna Purrazzo versus Anna Jay. There was a lot made about only having one women's match on this show. And from what I understand, Deonna had to like really push for this match. FightfulSelect.com broke the news of this match on Thursday as, go figure, the camera I have set up, I didn't hit the right settings on. So this stuff's going to flip on and off again before our next ad break, and then I'm going to have to switch cameras. But by God, Deonna Purrazzo had to push for this match. I know it was one that was really important to her, local to her as well. Steve Macklin of TNA, Fightful Select, reported that he was backstage. Deanna's not been injured. We also had that on FightfulSelect.com. Like she's been good to go and okay to wrestle. It's just she hasn't been booked for some reason. I don't know why, especially considering she emerged from that really good feud with Thunder Rosa. And I thought did really well in that feud as well. However, ends up taking the loss here. And it was a match. It was all right. It was very slow paced, put on first of the night just to basically be like, here you go. You're on the show. And I actually think that AEW has done a really good job developing underneath people to eventually contend for titles. And we'll talk more about the Camille thing a little bit later on, but this match ended with, Taya had got ejected. And then there was a roll up out of an arm bar where Anna Jay won. I would like to know what's next for Deanna. And I see somebody saying they can't do non-title feuds for women, but there's potential. What are you talking about? What do you mean? They're doing Thunder Rosa Harley Cameron right now, and it's a lot of fun. What do you mean? They did Chris Statlander and the Outcasts. What do you mean they did Deanna and Thunder Rosa? What do you mean here? They did Willow and Chris Statlander. Yes, they absolutely can. They absolutely have. AEW has been doing a really good job with developing these underneath feuds for the women. Like if there's one thing regarding their women's division that I think that they do really well, it's that. That way you can point at that and say, well, this person emerged from a feud and won it. Jamie Hayter and Penelope Ford, as somebody pointed out, Jamie Hayter and Julia Hart now, like they have absolutely done really well with that. Now, you can absolutely say they have not given the women enough time on Dynamite or two matches. And yeah, I would completely agree with you, but they've done really well with the underneath feuds like that. Oh, man, we got Buddy Matthews defeating Commander, Dante Martin, and the Beast Mortos. There were buddy chants during this. Now, another thing that FightfulSelect.com broke, QT Marshall wanted, I assume this is the one that he meant. He wanted his match to be in the middle of the 0 hour. That way, fans would get to hang around for something free afterwards and be like, oh, so this is what AEW is really about outside of, you know, this reason that we're tuning in for this Big Boom AJ match. And it was something that he had mentioned to me. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a pretty good idea. So I was surprised to see this match second. Buddy Matthews getting the win, though, is something I'm all about. I don't know necessarily what this advances. And if you're one of those people like me that says, I don't really need a 5.5 hour show. This certainly could have been on, you know, Collision or Dynamite, as could a couple of other things. But Buddy getting a win here in a hot crowd with people chanting his name, I think is very good. Very good. Something you want to see, obviously. And I think great for him. He needs to be in the Continental Classic. You need to see this guy having slappers every single week. You need to have him doing what he can do, the reason that you signed him. I think that's very, very important. We have Layla Hirsch, Athena, Billy Starks, and Red Velvet as the ROH Eliminator for the Women's International Cup for New Japan Wrestle Dynasty, the show that they're doing with AEW. So this is basically a fatal four-way, and then somebody moves on to that. And then you have a representative from CMLL, Stardom, AEW, and ROH go on to this show. So there's a couple things they could do. They could have it to where Athena's not pinned. I thought these were going to be one-on-one matches, and it would be like a mini tournament, but they're going to do a four-way. Now, obviously, you could do a thing where Athena doesn't take the pin. I don't think that happens. As the damn camera switched off. If anybody who is not technologically stupid like me knows how to keep that from happening on a Sony Handycam, I think AX45, let your boy know. But I'll be switching to that other camera during our next break. But I thought it would be a tournament, and I definitely thought that Athena was going to be going there. But I could see a small possibility where they go, you know what? No, we're gonna just have her go on and represent ROH, because why wouldn't you have her represent ROH in a big show like that? And if not, why the hell is she not on Dynamite with all these other ROH talent on there? The segment itself, whatever. But I'm very excited for this match and the Wrestle Dynasty thing. I do think that if we're going to call something Wrestle Dynasty, you got to get rid of the Dynasty pay-per-view. Dante says, they have all the pieces for a stellar women's division. Let's get it going, TK. No more dragging your feet and book Deonna more. I agree. I would like to see a more established push for Deonna Purrazzo. I mean, listen, she came in and got a title shot. I know that a lot of people looked at that match and said, I don't know how I feel about that, but or that title match. And they're like, well, you know, don't know how they felt about her after that match. But I've seen her deliver on a high level for so long now. Anytime she's given an opportunity, I think she's just got to be given that opportunity. And I really do think the women could have benefited a lot more from tag team titles as opposed to an ROH TV title. I really don't know that we needed that more than world tag team titles that could go across brands as well. But yeah. Brandon Charles Powell said, finally signed up for NordVPN with the code Fightful for the cheaper pay-per-view. Don't know why I waited so long. Well, listen, I want to say thank you to my buddy here for giving me the natural transition to scamper off and fix my camera settings. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Sorry to go to an ad read that quick, but you know, I didn't want to have the camera flipping off. It's a thing common with, you know, camcorders, DSLRs, and I am not technologically savvy enough to understand how to fix that myself. Usually it's as simple as me just posting a tweet and somebody gives me a quick tutorial on how to fix it. But I promise I'm also trying to get into my other studio more. I was going to do that show today. And then the monitor across the room that I use to keep an eye on everything, all the HDMI ports went out on it at the same time. Like, can't catch a break here, man. But we got more full gear to talk about. Canario says, incompetent Rick Knox makes a ton of sense. Gives AEW a realistic sports-based presentation. He's the Angel Hernandez of pro wrestling. Allows them to blame him on any wonky finishes. So, Canario, I believe it is. This is something that I have long said that AEW and really a lot of wrestling companies should do, but I think that it fits with AEW awfully well. Give referees personalities. Listen, a lot of football fans know referees and their tendencies, and baseball fans knew Angel Hernandez. They know some of the good ones as well. I think it'd be great if, you know, people, obviously FTR do not want Rick Knox because he does not follow rules. They want somebody like Aubrey Edwards. They or maybe there's a ref that isn't as good at catching interference. Somebody specifically wants them. Play to their tendencies. I think that would be a very cool thing to do. DNC Digital, our good friends, says, Hope all is well. Been through a rough few days. Mom relapsed. Their schizophrenia, dementia. This community in pro wrestling has been there for me. There are bigger things in life. Let's hang out and watch wrestling. Yes, absolutely. Listen, man, my grandmother, we lost her to dementia in April. And I know that you're not asking for my advice, but what advice I can provide is, in those rare moments of clarity, really embrace those. I got to have a phone conversation with my grandmother in January, and it was like everything was okay. And I knew that it wouldn't be for you know, an extended period of time, but I embraced that conversation as long as I could, and I enjoyed it for what it was. So we're glad to have you here. And I'll tell you this, man, your mom's lucky to have you. You're a good dude. Oh, man, let's talk about it. The main event of this show was not Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley. Bring the goddamn boom, y'all. Bring the boom. Big Boom AJ defeated QT Marshall. First off, QT Marshall interviewed him this week. It was great conversation. He wasn't kayfabing or anything like that. He was just talking about how he knew AJ. And AJ's last match as an independent wrestler handed like the babyface territory over to QT Marshall. And QT pushed for this match. And QT was brought back to AEW under the condition, you know, you're not going to be an in-ring wrestler. He's done some dark matches and stuff like that, but he pushed for this to happen on the Zero Hour, where, come on, let's be real, you're going to do 13, 14 matches and three or four of these Zero Hour matches, and you know, some of them aren't going to matter. So at least put some asses in seats. It's something WCW used to do like 30 years ago. They would do like Danny Bonaduce versus Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch or whatever. So what they did was they got Big Boom AJ, who was a worker, and he and the Rizzler and and Big Justice did a big media tour. And I see somebody saying, crowd was horrible, especially the last four matches. Brother, what on earth are you talking about? What on earth are you talking about? What on earth are you talking about? I don't get it. They loved Lashley and Swerve. They popped huge for Darby at the end. I digress. Big Boom AJ. Let me tell you some of the things I like about Big Boom AJ. Clearly loves the business. Clearly cares about wrestling and cared about promoting this. And Fox Business did an interview with Tony Khan and Big Boom AJ and his son. And his son like had tears. He was so happy for his father. Great to see. There were a lot of really smart things they did in relation to this. So I saw some people say, it didn't improve the ratings at all, man. Go, come on, shut the hell up. Their clip got 11 million views. 11 million views in like a day. 11 million. Clearly, it put some eyes on things. It put some asses in seats. They ended up with over 10,000 people at an arena, which is good no matter who you are, no matter where you are. 10,000 is very good for AEW right now. They seem incredibly wholesome. The Rizzler gets enormous pops. They brought the Rizzler out with Paul White holding his hand. It was the most adorable goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. I got to be honest, their content really annoys me. But their content annoying me isn't enough to make me dislike them, because guess what? I don't seek out their content. I don't go and hate watch their stuff because I got better shit to do with my life than to sit around and hate watch stuff. So again, let me tell you something else I liked about Big Boom AJ. He did that promo, which was not supposed to be on TV. QT pitched this as all being off TV. That way nobody could complain about that. And AEW was like, no, we need to put this on TV. Big Boom AJ established his finisher in that promo. Then when they did the weigh-in, they established QT's, because there's a whole lot of people that, quite frankly, didn't know that the Diamond Cutter was QT's finish, which was passed down from DDP directly. Because, I mean, QT wasn't winning a lot either. But he also took a great diamond cutter. They did the match. It was a lot of, like, the entrance was, you know, funny. He went and he was like a politician, shaking everybody's hands, kissing babies, all that. The match was about how an indie match starts. You get the heat, you get the heat, you get the heat. Pretty elementary stuff. Then they go into power slams. And they go into a spot where QT tries to confront the Rizzler, who is a small child who does a chin stroke. And, oh, man. I just think QT killed it here, man. And obviously, Big Boom AJ, he's a wrestler. That's it. Hasn't wrestled in a long time, but is a wrestler. They did the superplex off the top. He did the double axe handle, all that good stuff. There was nothing offensive about this match until, well, you know, the end, the spear from the child. But even then, I got to say, QT sold the hell out of that spear. And Big Justice, is that his name? Big Justice? Yeah. Threw a pretty solid spear for a 12-year-old. Do I need to see this every month? No. Do I need to see this six times a year? No. Do I need to see it quarterly? No. As far as celebrity integrations into wrestling, it's certainly in the top half, top quarter that I've watched, because I've watched Kevin Federline and Snooki and Tyson Fury. 100% better than one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time. This was significantly better than the very low bar set by many celebrity matches. Our friend Demon Diva says QT sold it like Lashley speared him. I mean, this has got to be validating for QT Marshall as well. And somebody says still wasn't as good as FESRS. Listen, I'll say this. The stuff I did, at least solid. I'm very happy with the stuff that I've done over the last year. But QT got heat a lot. And was he the most entertaining TV consistently? No. Do I think he should have had an extended program with Cody Rhodes? No, not really. But I went to that Toronto show, the first taping. And if anybody who was there, please speak up in the comments section. Chat, have my back here. If you were at the first AEW Toronto tapings, who did they lean on that entire taping to get the crowd bumping, to get the crowd reacting? They brought QT out there three or four different times to get heat for a bunch of people and himself. Man is a very versatile performer, has gotten himself into incredible shape, was willing to swallow his pride, come back in an off-camera role, and then showed something that I think could work very well. I actually think that QT doing celebrity matches with people could be a very fun, semi-consistent, zero-hour like attraction. And that's what this was. He understood the assignment. Not only did he understand the assignment, he wrote the assignment, scheduled it, did the curriculum, all that stuff, and then executed it and did great. But like QT, Frank says AJ got a hell of a working punch. Yes, he does. Man, they were chanting boom with each punch. It got a perfect crowd reaction for what you wanted out of this show. Fantastic. The Rizzler comes in and celebrates with them afterwards. Good of them to get him on there as well. I'm like looking back at that spear. Like that probably made that kid's life. I mean, listen, we watched a 12-year-old win a tag title at WrestleMania at one point. So again, top quarter of like celebrity integrations that I've seen. Good on QT Marshall. Good on him. But like, do you remember when Heath Slater, leading up to the Raw 1000 thing, lost to a bunch of legends? Like, I think that's actually a very entertaining and fun thing for QT. To do. Yeah. Somebody says, being pessimistic here, QT is a trainer. Why be surprised? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because he's facing a guy that hasn't wrestled in 20 years and had never had a televised match. And maybe because the majority of stuff that QT was doing on TV wasn't resonating well. Resonated really good with live crowds. Didn't resonate great with TV crowds. Why was he supposed to wrestle when his contract states he's not? Who said his contract states that? Contract states, have you seen the contract? I haven't. I reported that he was leaving. I reported that he was coming back. I reported that it was an agreement on FightfulSelect.com that he was not going to wrestle on TV. But who said it's like a contract where, they're in breach now. They're in breach. He wrestled. The whole agreement is undermined. No, they had a good spot for him, and he killed it. He did awesome. Ah, I thought this was a lot. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Fun. Thought this was very good. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. Private Party ends up winning the AEW tag team title match. Good to see the Outrunners in this spot. Man, Malakai Black has been, like, in these tag matches, buddy, he on it. Somebody says, a little late, Sean, but Deonna Purrazzo had been working on getting her college degree. It's why she wasn't working as much. Nope. Nope, she was willing to work. She was there. She had done her own vignettes, stuff like that. Nope, she was willing to work through that. But Malakai Black, man, works his ass off in these tag matches. Like he does that up and over spot, and then the where he jumps out and does the moonsault. Ooh, that is a spot, brother. Outrunners, they're great. They're great. They're fantastic. The Acclaimed. It had been hinted at to me that originally this could have been Roosh and the Beast Mortos. And I don't know what changed there, but obviously something did. I actually really liked the Acclaimed in this match. We had Max Caster getting heavy boos. Anthony Bowens getting cheered, and Max tried to do a thing where Anthony Bowens pinned him because you had to tag in and out. Then Max Caster cost the Acclaimed the match because he had tagged in. or I don't know if Rick Knox maybe didn't catch it or whatever it is. Outrunners are super over. I love the dynamic of Bowens being over and Caster being hated. I hope that catches on, because that's a dynamic that we haven't really seen out of a consistent tag team in at least quite a while. Like, I don't mean like, oh, well, they're putting Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin together. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this is just a completely different thing. Our great partners at BetOnline.ag had Private Party as the favorites here, and they did win. Our great partners at BetOnline.ag, who you can deposit with crypto, you get VIP rewards, you can bet big. They have the fastest payouts. You can bet on NFL, NBA, NCAA, UFC, NHL, boxing, soccer. Don't yell at me, people in Europe. Don't yell at me. Payouts in minutes, highest credit card acceptance, safe and secure online environment. It's a great time over at BetOnline.ag. Now, we do want you to only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But you can bet on pro wrestling at BetOnline.ag, and I'll be telling you about a lot of their odds here today, because your boy is now, over the last 12 months on our underdog lock picks, 15 for 15. Very happy about that. Private Party get the win. They were the favorites. Listen, I liked it. So here's the duality of this. This could have been on Dynamite or Collision, and I would have been like, fine. But I also understand that people would be like, tag team division relegated to yada, yada, yada. If I were AEW, I wouldn't go the five or six show or match route like WWE, but I absolutely would do about 7-8 matches between the pre-show and the main show tops, 3 hours on pay-per-view, maybe an hour on the pre-show at most, and then put some stuff like MJF Roderick Strong, the champagne celebration, the four-way, and this match on Collision Dynamite, because that's one of the things that's made Raw and SmackDown a lot more must watch, is these matches that you assume are going to be on PLEs and pay-per-views. They're like, no, we've got a major television show to promote as well. And I feel like AEW, they've done better with, one, developing the undercard of the women, and two, booking the more intimate and cooler looking venues. They got 10K and Prudential Center tonight. So clearly still pay-per-views selling and all that stuff. But they're doing a lot of things the right way, I think. I wish they would. This is like one of the last things that is like that maybe bugs me a bit. But also, I'm not going to complain about having this slapper of a tag team title match here on this show. BetOnline.ag had MJF as the favorite, and he defeated Roderick Strong. This is one that also could have been on Dynamite. It felt a little shorter than I thought, but I think that that's okay to do. And I had mentioned this about, I think it was Lance Archer and who did he face? Who did he face recently? Well, either way, Lance Archer lost recently, and it was in a couple minutes, and I'm like, yeah, okay. But this match, gosh, now that I look at it, almost 14 minutes. Every match on this show went over 13 minutes. I think he could have even had a little bit less there, but no issue with this. MJF cut this promo before, so I did not know the story about Roderick Strong's mother shooting his father. Like, damn, that sucks, first off. But MJF says, while I'm off shooting movies and making millions of dollars, your mom is shooting your dad. Damn! I've long said this. If MJF is annoyed by you or just you're in his way, he's going to be like, LOL, your mom. But if he doesn't like you or hate you, he's like, LOL, your mom shot your dad. Okay. Damn. This match was fine. On a show like this, this was used to further another storyline, is what this was done for. That's why I think that it would have probably been better off if this was on like a Dynamite or something. And it would have been really, it would have been something like pretty heavy to promote as well. But I also understand MJF put some asses in seats. Afterwards, he pilmanizes Roderick Strong. And apparently the Undisputed Kingdom are so slow that they saw this being erected in front of them. And it took them forever to get out there. Kyle O'Reilly also makes the save. And Adam Cole, he's pushing around Adam Cole like, what the hell, man? I'm ready for Adam Cole and MJF to end. This was short and sweet enough altogether, but I'm ready to see everybody else move on. And I actually liked it, the fact that they're going towards O'Reilly and something else. Because O'Reilly is saying, like, he's saying what a lot of the audience is saying, like, Adam, you need to wrap this shit up. You need to get over it because it's ruining your career. It's ruining everybody else's good time. Now it's ruining Roderick Strong. Like, it's affecting them as well. Now, listen, I don't know how they get there, because Kenny Omega, who FightfulSelect.com has heard some in AEW think that he'll have his match, he'll have a match in AEW before New Japan. I still, one of my dream matches is the Undisputed Era versus the Elite. I don't know how the hell they get there, but I want to see that at some point. And it's been 3 years since Adam Cole joined this company. And they had Bobby Fish, and they were bringing over Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, and none of them have stayed healthy since then. Adam Cole missed a year. Kyle O'Reilly's career almost ended. They fired Bobby Fish. Kenny Omega misses a year. Damn, man. I want to see that match so bad. So bad. Roddy was also really good in this match. Alan Hess says, Ricky Starks had an interesting day. Our dude Danny Cage of the Monster Factory posted a picture backstage, and Ricky Starks was backstage at AEW, but he was also at GCW today. You want to talk about cool venues? I have been told, well, we can't sell tickets to a mall show if we're AEW or WWE, et cetera. I don't care. Listen, all due respect, I don't care about your ticket sales. I care about seeing cool things on TV. And let me tell you something cool that happened on GCW. They do a show at a mall, which, listen, man, if somebody's running a Rumble and they're running a mall show, please contact me, put me in it. I just want to work a mall show like that. Down the escalator of this mall, the camera pans in. Who is that? Holding a Louis Vuitton bag is Ricky Starks. He says that he's healthy, he's able, he's not going to be frozen out. How about this? We're going to have a FightfulSelect.com update. I'll say this week on Ricky Starks. There you go. $5 a month, $54 a year. You get access to exclusive news, additional podcasts, our Discord, Q&A shows, all kinds of exclusives. I'm there answering questions all the time. We have at least one exclusive news article a day, and we've been doing select answers every day as well. But I'll have some info on AEW status and stuff like that. But here's what I respect about Ricky Starks. Holding that shopping bag. He, as an independent contractor, made his Louis Vuitton spend tax deductible. Brilliant, Ricky Starks. Brilliant. Whew, let's talk about an absolute humper of a match. And speaking of, get those humper chats in at humperchats.com, like New Lack City. He says, solid pay-per-view, only gripes are one women's match and a lot of regular singles matches. Also very heel-heavy show. All the matches were solid, though, and it left me wanting to see where things go. Garcia winning the title was long overdue. So, New Lack City, my friend. I agree with you with the one women's match thing. They did have one on the Zero Hour. They had the women's segment as well, and they integrated women into the main event of the show. So I think that they did good with that. Heel heavy show. I didn't mind that because you got big wins for Jay White. You got a big win for Private Party. You had Daniel Garcia winning the title. So I didn't mind that at all. like, I didn't realize it was heel heavy until you mentioned it. But left you wanting to see where these stories are headed. That was interesting to see them end on a thing like that, end on an angle. But I actually liked that they didn't have a lot of gimmick matches here, because I felt like they held the crowd really, really well, man. Like, I've been there for those shows. And 5 hours, 5.5 hours is a long time to be at a wrestling show. And I thought they held the crowd. Phil says, firstly, you look well. Well, thank you very much. Says, what do you think is the disconnect of never fully investing in the women's division? Why do you feel we're doing one match 5 years in? Well, to play devil's advocate, I will say again, pre-show match, they had that. They had a, and by the way, New Lack City, a slapper of a women's match. One of the best women's matches in AEW history. Almost, it's 30 seconds away from being the first women's match in AEW history to go over 20 minutes. I wish they would have had them hit that mark as well. And it's wild to think there hasn't been one. Go look. But again, integrated women into the main event, and they did the angle as well. Should there have been more matches? You could argue that. Again, I think this Mina and Mariah May thing could have happened on Dynamite, and it could have been important for Dynamite, and we could have chopped a whole hour off this show. But again, I think they're doing really well with developing underneath contenders. So this isn't a wait and see. I've outside of not having the benchmark of two matches on the show, I think they've done pretty well. Love for Boost says, great show overall, but Mercedes Statlander is my match of the night. Also loved Ricochet Takeshita. Ricochet got dropped right on his head 3 times. His neck is made of elastic, but my dude, let's talk about this Mercedes Chris Statlander match. Might have been Mercedes' best match in AEW. Now, she's had some solid matches. Like, yeah, I think that the Sheeta match was fine enough. Stephanie Vaquer match was very good. Willow Nightingale match was awesome. But like the Nyla match, Sky Blue was okay. There haven't been as many in the 6-7 months that she's been there wrestling where you go, damn, that's a Sasha Banks classic. Like, when she just randomly was booked against Saraya on Raw and she had an absolute slapper. Or, yeah, let's be real. Against the Baileys and Becky Lynch's and the Kyries and the Charlottes of the world. Tonight was that. Statlander and Mercedes went at it tonight. Bet Online had Mercedes as a monster favorite to win. They were right on the money there. Here's what I loved about this. There were several spots of innovation here based around the offense of which we are familiar regarding Mercedes. And almost everybody there knows Mercedes' offense, double knee based. And I love that type of thing. Back when I wrestled, I would do like a lot of different elbow moves and all that stuff. And that was inspired by Shinsuke Nakamura, who threw knees all over the place. Mercedes, I thought next level, you know, the Meteora, the knees in the corner, all that stuff goes so long. So when you go and you do a Meteora and Chris Statlander catches you and then buckle bombs you with your knees up on the shoulder, damn, man. Fantastic. Fantastic. There was a flipping neck breaker that was just unbelievable. I realized this match was going to be like one of those Mercedes matches very early in the match when she did that. I think it was a diving head scissors off the apron to the floor. And you're like, oh, that's the Mercedes we're getting tonight. That's what we're going to see here. And absolutely delivered on every level. I had to remind myself this isn't the world title. It's a TBS title. That's the type of level match they were having. And this is why you get Mercedes. In addition to, you know, you want to drag her fans there. But as Colon 3, man, I wonder what happened to Colon 1 and 2. But as he I don't want to assume your gender :3, but when Mercedes has unique chemistry with somebody, she really has unique chemistry with somebody. Willow is one of those people. Bailey is one of those people. When she has that special chemistry, it really works. Becky Lynch, Charlotte, obviously. I get the feeling that she and Chris Statlander are going to have that special chemistry. And Chris Statlander looked incredible in this match. I feel like, even though, gosh, how long are we into this reign? We're quite a ways in, right? Like, she won that in May. So we are 6 months in. And who all did she beat? She's defended that TBS title quite a bit. I know it was Sky Blue right after that. Zeuxis, I think I pronounced that right. Stephanie Vaquer in June. Nyla Rose in July. I know she beat Sheeta and Britt in August. And then I don't think the Watanabe match was for that title because that was at Capital Collision. So the next month it was Sheeta. Last month it was Aminata and Emi Sakura. So she's been defending the title every single month, which you love to see, especially in AEW where sometimes titles fall by the wayside. Damn, this was great. And so before this, we also saw her really berating Camille. Oh no, I guess I was really surprised at the demeanor and the discourse around Camille this week. She had a segment after being put through a wall by a powerhouse in Chris Statlander. And she was in a sling. And it still took two former champions to erase her from the equation. And I saw a bunch of people talking like Camille was buried. Then I saw a bunch of people talking like she was like the worst wrestler ever. And I'm like, man, I actually watched NWA when she was on there. I saw that reign. She was one of the best things on the show. Now, listen, I know that wasn't exactly a high bar when you got Tyrus as a champion. But I mean, like, she was one of the better parts of that show. She had Natalia Markova, Taya Valkyrie, Kenzie Page, Kylin King, Max the Impaler. She had a triple threat with Chelsea and Kylie that was really good. Layla Hirsch, Thunder Rosa, Angelina Love. I saw her have good matches with all these people over the course of a number of years. It wasn't like a quick reign or anything. It's very clearly small wrestler Mercedes as a heel berating much bigger and intimidating Camille to get Camille to turn on her. Clear as that. Buried? There's always a possibility. Always a possibility that they could just up and forget this, but I doubt it. Incredible. Incredible match here, though. I am Crush NC says, am I the only one who thought this pay-per-view was a very long episode of Dynamite? I love AEW. Didn't feel a lot during this one. I love this show. I thought this show was very good. I don't know that there was anything that I look at and said, damn, that was bad on this show. Long? Hell yeah, it was long. It's a long-ass show. Oh, man. Here I am barely halfway through. And we're 40 minutes in. Fight for the Fallen, by the way, has been confirmed as the first HBO simulcast. Our friend Kate Elizabeth passed that along to us. Oh, man. Jay White. Listen, man, I tell you guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Use our great friends at BetOnline.ag. And when I got him, I'll give you underdog lock picks. Adam Hangman Page was BetOnline's favorite. Now, listen, I don't know how much our great partners at BetOnline like me telling you guys, here is a lock. Here's some money. But your boy had Hangman Adam Page as a lock win tonight. Other lock wins I had for tonight. Lashley, Daniel Garcia, Moxley. You throw those in a nice little parlay and those big odds come a little bit easier. Jay White attacked Hangman's knee. Hangman attacked Jay White's ankle. There was a really smooth spot where there was like a reverse skinning the cat to a buckshot lariat attempt. This is the rehabilitation of Switchblade Jay White. And also, the complete absence of ego of Adam Hangman Page. Like, when you get to the top, and quite frankly, I think the slow burn of Adam Hangman Page was one of the best things I've ever seen in wrestling. And first off, it makes me very happy that I can look at Hangman Swerve, the slow burn of Hangman, the Bloodline storyline, Cody finishing his story as like things of this era that are some of the best things I've ever seen in wrestling. Because there was a real period, guys, where it looked like, damn, when are we going to get the next? This was one of the greatest things in wrestling, you know? Because even things like Summer of Punk and the Nexus debut, Vince fucked it up. You know what I mean? Pardon my language. So it makes me happy to see this. Jay White gets the win over Hangman Page because Hangman Page is bulletproof, buddy. Hangman Page is one of those characters where a loss makes him crazier. A loss adds to the lore. A loss just makes you go, what is this dude going to do next? The finish of this match was such a high-level finish. How quickly Jay White is able to get into that Blade Runner. By the way, guys, I don't as much anymore. I will have someone select for around Christmas. Did a feature that I really loved working on called Making a Finisher, because I love finding out how people develop finishers. And in his New Japan days, Switchblade and I talked about his. Hangman and I talked about, I believe it's the, I don't know if it's Deadeye. It's got like a million names now. But Jay White getting this win, like there's no delay. There's no waiting. There's no hold there. It is, I gotcha, spin around, face bump. This is that shit I like and plays into the main event segment that we see later. Just fantastic. The fantastic stuff doesn't end here. You got Kyle Fletcher defeating Will Ospreay. BetOnline AG had Will Ospreay as a favorite this week. By today, Kyle Fletcher had sort of slid in and even those odds. This match started off like fairly slow. Boy, did it pick up. I have been critical of AEW in the past of having guys that are very clearly next up or guys that should be skyrocketed very quickly. Takeshi's been around for a couple years, but they're finally getting there with him. Daniel Garcia's been around for years. They're finally getting there with him. Ricky Starks, they never got there with him. They're getting there with the quickness with Kyle Fletcher. Like, I don't know what this means for Mark Davis, and he is fantastic, and the injury is very unfortunate, but you got a guy Kyle Fletcher's size. You got him on a multi-year contract. You showed him that first off, you care about him because you hired him and his tag team partner while his tag team partner was injured, paid for his surgery, then paid him for a year while he was out as well. And Kyle Fletcher is going to be one of those guys. I think it's better that the Don Callis family has shrunk a little bit, because I think as Fletcher and Takeshita emerged, guys like Hobbs would have got lost a little bit more in the shuffle. So I think it's good that he's not in there anymore, and it puts more of a focus on Fletcher and Takeshita. Fletcher switching up his look, I think, was a good idea. Vicky says, hi, SRS, that was insane. Will Ospreay taking losses? Sad for House of Black. Orange is amazing. Where can I find these heel factions like Callis Hurt Syndicate to go with Mox's faction ideas? Best five in the business. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Vicky. Always love seeing you. Sorry I didn't get to message you back. These pay-per-views are hectic work nights, especially when the Rizzler's involved. Somebody said, you mentioned on Blue Sky, you expected some returns at full gear. Who were those people? I was expecting Tony. We'll talk about that later. And somebody was telling me, like, they think that Omega will have his first AEW match, or he'll have an AEW match back before New Japan. I guess we'll see, but Willow was also one of them. Not as long of a return. It's been like 3 or 4 weeks, but she's been sidelined. So, again, and Brandon Chandler, I agree. AEW should remind us that Kyle was recently an ROH champ. Yes, put over that company. Put over that company and what they can deliver. Will Ospreay taking losses? Will Ospreay, if he took one lesson from Bryan Danielson, which is long a lesson of Randy Savage's, if you are good enough, you win him in the ring, you lose him in the ring. I believe it was Bruce Pritchard that would often say on his podcast that they would pitch, like, you know, shenanigans for Randy Savage to lose. And he's like, man, I'm good enough to lose. I'll just get over. Will Ospreay's going to still stay over. To me, there is character development in losses. And it is important to have characters. And it's important to have matches where you feel like neither one could lose, should lose. Or you look at that and you go, oh man, neither one of these guys can lose this match. Kyle Fletcher needed this so much more than Will Ospreay. So much more than Will Ospreay. And Kyle Fletcher winning clean as a sheet, as Zach Schimmel says. That goes a long way. He proved he was better than the guy who he said was trying to keep him in his shadow. All of a sudden, you've got Kyle Fletcher, who is on a win streak, which should mean something in AEW. Being on a win streak should mean something important. He beat Commander earlier this month. He beat Atlantis Jr., who I've got an interview up with, by the way. I know he lost to Okada a couple months ago. So, I mean, not that far removed from a title shot, and he had the tag title shot. So I wouldn't mind that playing into this as well. But he beat a Will Ospreay, and all of a sudden you got to have your name mentioned in something like that. The tombstone on the stairs, by the way, sick. Somebody said, how about him in the C2? I would love him in the C2. Garcia officially in the C2. Let's go. Ah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. And that, listen, that's an honest to God reason to not defend your title for a little bit. Love it. The Tiger Driver spot or the Power Driver, I don't think that should be kicked out of. I don't think that should be kicked out of at all. I do think that this should have ended a little bit sooner, but it was an unbelievable match. Fightful Awards are coming up, guys. You can get your nominations in early at FightfulSelect.com. That's where all the voting's going to go. I feel like, honestly, we're going to have to do a vote for a Will Ospreay match of the year. And then that match moves on. Like, there's got to have it be an Ospreay tournament there. I'll let our audience decide if that should be the case, because we had a situation last year where Will Ospreay had so many matches that got heavy votes that he almost didn't win because so many matches split the vote and another person came in. Or is it unfair to only be able to pick one Will Ospreay match? We have a nomination process anyway. I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Very excited for the Fightful Awards. What an incredible match. Somebody said, that's true. What if all the nominees are Ospreay matches? Buddy, there's a lot of them. He had 3 Finisher of the Year nominations as well. And I had to be like, we gotta scale it back, because there was the Stormbreaker, Hidden Blade, and Tiger Driver all got nominated. By the way, guys, I see some of you asking questions. Get those super chats, get those humper chats in. Boris says, Ricky Stark's backstage heat, is it a lot? I'm working on that. Listen, I'm working on that. There was, I don't know if there was heat as much as a miscommunication. He's got heat with some people, obviously. But yeah, I'm working on it. He was backstage tonight. I didn't hear of any issues. Mina Shirakawa comes out. Man, like, I cannot imagine speaking a second language as well as she does. Like, that is, I tried to learn Portuguese once. It did not go well. Didn't go well at all. She's bringing out the championship celebration. Mariah May is out there with a black eye. And she celebrates, and I really like what we saw next, because a lot of people expected to see Toni Storm. Now, Toni Storm was out, like, doing interviews saying, I'm done, and Tony Khan's like, no, she's not. She's not retired. Come on. But they do the interlocking arms. I'm sure there's a word for that. I don't drink alcohol, much less champagne, so I wouldn't know it. And then Mariah tries to crack Mina Shirakawa, who is super over, by the way. Of all the Joshi talent they've brought in, like, Mina has really connected. And listen, you can say it's, you know, because of the sexual innuendo there, which, listen, I understand why some people take issue with that. But I mean, they're both very, I mean, Mina's super over, and I feel like this is the right program for Mariah May, because let's be real, that title reign has chilled an awful lot. Like, there was the great build, the great story, the great peak. She wins the title, and then it's like, well, now what? And it's so hard for that now what. I mean, we see it with the Cody finishing the story thing, and now finally it's heated up. It's very hard to follow up when you have, like, an all-timer of a story. And I think Mariah May and Toni Storm is a great one. But Van Twinblade says, Mariah is the most toxic lesbian. All the callback, and the callback to the bloody kiss was fantastic. Who can't do stories, you marks? So Mariah swings the champagne bottle at Mina. Mina ducks it. Mina knows. Because listen, Mina loves her. It is a love story. But Mina knows her as well. They were tag team partners. That's the thing. Mina knows her better than anybody. She wasn't going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe. She wasn't following it. No innuendo there. That's a Beverly Hills Cop reference. She wasn't going to get got by Mariah after she watched Tony get got. So she kicks that bottle, by the way. God, that was crazy. How she ended up unscathed from that, I won't know. I would love to find out how that was gimmicked. And then Spears tackles Mariah off the stage through a table. And I don't know what happened, but Mina's mouth was busted up. Don't know if they mentioned, like, maybe she cracked a tooth or something like that. And she was so bloody and kissed all over it. Like, maybe it was a planned spot. Like, that is a spot where you could use a capsule or something. But that was such a beautiful spot. Franklin Scarlett, listen, man, you made me put you on blast twice. With this Ricky Starks issue, could WWE see this guy as a cancer? No! What the fuck are you talking about? I appreciate your view. I just want to say that. I appreciate your view. And I try not to drop F-bombs on this show. What the fuck are you talking about? They hired CM Punk 1 year ago. They hired CM Punk after two fights. What? Come on. There were people in the company actively saying, don't hire this man. I'll be mad. And they hired him. Ricky, come on. They'd love to have Ricky Starks. He says, to be off from AEW for 5 months and go wrestle independence on an AEW contract is crazy. It ain't that crazy. People do it all the time. Scorpio Sky's doing it right now. Come on. Saying there's no heat is BS. I didn't say there was none. Unless I misspoke. I said, clearly there are some people he has heat with. I'm working on finding out how much. I just haven't heard like a ton of why there was heat. Danhausen's working indies. That man had some heat with Tony. Oh, come on. Thank you for watching, Franklin. Sorry I had to do that twice. I'm just shocked. No, this is a landscape where if AEW feels like it will help them to hire Shane McMahon, they will. If WWE feels like it will help them to hire Ricky Starks when available, they will. Toxic. I mean, listen, also, you see, for however much you like AEW, however much you like WWE, when people get to WWE lately, they've been behaving. Whether it be going to NXT, whether it be CM Punk showing up there, I have heard zero bad things about CM Punk since he got to WWE. Now, I'm sure AEW is looking at that and going, well, wish that we would have had that. And I'm sure CM Punk says, well, if you would have arranged things a little bit better and, you know, sorted things out a little bit better, you could have. That's where we run into, you know, all these the he said, she said. By the way, we have a wonderful timeline video. It's called CM Punk Timeline that we released in January of this year, where we laid out all of the timeline of how this all started with the Royal Rumble 2014 and went all the way up to Royal Rumble 2024 and CM Punk having his return match. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Like it's a very good one. I was very proud of that video. The algorithm is not very favorable to us because we go live all the time. We release videos all the time. So if you guys want to go check out that video, it's a very, very high quality video that I was quite proud of. But can't believe we're sitting here talking about CM Punk. Let's talk about Daniel Garcia defeating Jack Perry. This Daniel Garcia vignette, by the way, Daniel Garcia, the BetOnline AG favorite. This vignette was incredible. You got his mom speaking over it, talking about, you know, not worrying about him accomplishing things. God, that was so good, man. That was so damn good. Like it, I hope they release this on social if they haven't. Damn, man. This is that stuff that you want to see. This is that stuff that can help connect you emotionally. I would love it if they started to show some of this stuff on Dynamite Collision as well, which they, you know, to be fair, I think they do show quite a bit of that. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, he's got to win. I had him as one of my lock picks, but after seeing this, I was like, this man has to win this match. There's no way we can have a situation where he doesn't at this stage. That would have been criminal. Also, how dope is that TNT title, man? With the blood splatter that Jack Perry forged. For a guy that doesn't have to do this, he would be made. And if not, he would be a great stuntman. Jack Perry has repeatedly shown that he loves wrestling so much and just wants to do cool shit. Cool shit, man. Like that, I didn't necessarily like the second part of the angle with Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic and Jack Perry after the bus driving, but when they tied him to the front of it, that was cool. Jack Perry trying to lure Garcia into getting himself DQ'd, I thought was a good touch. He wants to play those mind games. Yeah, he saw what he could do to CM Punk. Why wouldn't, and now that that's an on-screen thing, why wouldn't he do that to Daniel Garcia, who has shown that he can be a hothead sometimes on screen? The powerbomb onto the table with trash was really good. Really, really good. I thought the foot capture pile driver was it. That's an interesting way to do it. The foot capture pile driver. Listen, I see what WWE did with the pile driver on Friday. And listen, I'm an old head in that sense, especially after it was off TV for so long. I think that that should be protected a lot more, especially I mentioned it with the Kyle Fletcher thing earlier, like his variation as well. Somebody's asking if Daddy Magic's only going to be on commentary. He was wanting to transition to commentary. Yeah. I don't know necessarily like if that means his in-ring career is over or something. But I know that was the plan, was to largely have him do that. Garcia submitting Jack Perry here was absolutely the right decision. Absolutely the right decision. Takeshita versus Ricochet. This is the only spot where that guy was like, oh, the last four matches, the crowd was tired. This is the only match where I felt like the crowd was a little tired and they were still pretty into this. Takeshita wins. This is good work. Takeshita getting the win. Again, everybody knows who Ricochet is. It's okay for great wrestlers to just lose some matches clean. And that's what I felt a lot was done with on this show. You didn't need anything. Like, heels can sometimes be good, and that's why you don't like them, right? You're like, God, I hate how good they are. Ricochet lost. Takeshita won. Takeshita is that guy. Kyle Fletcher is that guy. Daniel Garcia is that guy. And now you have these three guys who are very clearly in a situation where, oh, okay, one of them can get elevated. One of them can emerge as a top, top guy. Probably going to see Ricochet in the Continental Classic. Have they announced that yet? I have not got scrum notes. If Luis, our great moderator, could track some scrum notes down. I'm sure the dude Trevor Dame has them. I want to shout him out. Trevor Dame on Twitter always does great coverage of the scrums and all that stuff. Just incredible work. If Luis wouldn't mind, track down some notes there. But he says only Daniel Garcia and Okada have been announced. I like this. Well, listen, man. I mentioned how long this show is. Mention how long it goes. If you want to go long, check out our friends at Blue Chew.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
So, a couple other notes from our Fightful Select backstage scoops report. We mentioned Steve Macklin. Willow Nightingale was there. She popped up at the show. Danny Cage, a Monster Factory, was there. QT Marshall, I'm told, was a little bit under the weather this week. So shout out to him for getting through that and doing a great appearance. So Swerve and Bobby Lashley. Damn, this was good, too. This was good, too. I wish AEW's weekly TV could be executed to the same big event level as this. And this is why I think that it is important that AEW start having big matches on their show. That way you can hype it all throughout the evening and you're like, we got the big fight coming tonight. That is just something that I miss. I wondered how the crowd would react to Lashley and Swerve. Everybody knows Lashley. Everybody loves Swerve. But the build felt like it had the skeleton of a plan, and that it wasn't quite, this just isn't what I envisioned as it executed. You know what I mean? I feel like there were so many different ways they could have went about this. And I wouldn't call it a miss because it's clearly going to continue. But there were some issues in getting there. And Simmons talked about Ricochet Takeshita and said, this match disappointed me. You have Ricochet and Takeshita who can go, and I think this should have been a statement match. I don't know if they added it last minute, but I didn't enjoy the slow pace. I'm with you. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't think it was a slow pace. They had the suplex pin into the suplex spot, and then the backflips out of that. It wasn't like 110 miles an hour, but also there's the common criticism that AEW, they don't slow down enough. So sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't there. But I wouldn't say this. I thought it was a good match. It's just, it was, you know what? It was also a match I could have seen on Dynamite as a big match. I look at this card right here. Takeshita Ricochet. MJF Roderick Strong. The tag match, even though I'm glad it was on there. The Buddy Matthews four-way. And the championship celebration. You could have had this down to an eight-match show. Saved an hour off of it. Put the championship celebration on Dynamite. And imagine Dynamite, Takeshita Ricochet, TNT title, or international title, MJF Roderick Strong to further that, tag title match, championship celebration with a big turn. It makes too much sense for me. Spread the wealth a little bit. I don't think you're going to do a crazy number more buys by having all that stuff. And also, I'll tell you, back to the Lashley-Swerve thing. It feels like a lot was adjusted because I told you guys on FightfulSelect.com, the original plan for this was Lashley to debut at WrestleDream. However, considering Swerve is hometown or the home state guy, they didn't want... that him to get beat down and an attempted murder. Someone said, did the length of the show really hurt it enough to warrant this being brought up again? I didn't think it hurt the show enough, but I can bring it up as many times as I want because we're talking about the crowd and this is how long every AEW show is. And every AEW show every pay-per-view has at least 12 matches with the pre-show. So yes, it is going to be something that I bring up because I think it affects the crowd and I think it affects your TV when you don't spread it out like that. So FYI, there you go. This match with Lashley and Swerve, man. So Shelton getting booted got a great reaction. And first off, I'm excited to see that. Excited to see Shelton hopefully in the C2 or something like that. That'd be great. But crowd, like I'll tell you where I was like, oh damn, the barricade spot. Cause usually we see that in WWE and they've got like some sort of padding set up in the ring, the timekeeper area. And it's a set up barricade that you can hear the metal disconnect from it. And I was worried about Swerve like cracking his head on the concrete behind the metal barricade that sat there. Whew. The Swerve stomp through the table was really, really great. Really great. Bobby Lashley was a heavy Bet Online AG favorite, by the way, as was Takeshita. This match showed that Swerve is one of those guys who's going to stay over. Even if the build to what he's doing isn't the hottest, once he gets to that pay-per-view, he's going to have a hot crowd. And Luis mentioned that Big Bob was rejuvenated here and he brought the crowd back to life. I think he did. This is the Bobby Lashley you want to see. We Shelton Benjamin we've wanted to see. We've been seeing him lately. This is the Bobby Lashley that we wanted to see. Vicky says, Shelton shoved a ref after the match. Hangman took out Christopher Daniels. Fine suspension. I forgot to mention that. Hangman flipped out after his match and cracked Christopher Daniels. Oh, yeah. That's going to be an interesting one because he played into the main event later on. Swerve loses. And listen, I don't have like an encyclopedia brain about wrestling. I think this is the first time this year he has lost and Hangman wasn't involved. Like the loss isn't to Hangman or Hangman isn't popping up. That's he's very protected, man. Love for Boost says Takeshita would look great in Hollywood. Maybe a new Mortal Kombat movie or Bloodsport. He's so believable to whip some ass. He's got a great look. Very menacing in that sense. And AEW needed some more like bigger dudes. Let's be real. Like they needed guys like Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher who were 6'3", 6'4". Some scrum notes. Tony Khan said he hadn't seen anything like the reactions from Big Boom AJ on social media and how their following has been built in less than a year. AJ was asked by a reporter and TK if he'd be back, and he said that he would return. Big Boom AJ said he doesn't want any smoke with Moxley. Fantastic. Fantastic. Guys, if you don't mind, leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a super chat, Humper Chat, or just subscribe. Turn that bell on. Tomorrow night will be a very important show to me. After 5 years, Denise and I will have our last WWE Raw review together, at least for now. She's always got an open invite back. We are going to continue working together. We got a video planned for next week, but we're going to enjoy our last show together. Then the following week, we have Abu from Wrestle Purist joining. I think that he is one of the great wrestling analytical minds there is. I think that he I've got to talk to him an awful lot. He's got some good sources within wrestling as well. Very outspoken guy, and that's what I want. To be honest with you, my bar for wrestling enjoyment is lower as I get older. I want somebody who's is a lot higher, and that is our good friend Ibu. Can't wait to start with him, but we will really enjoy our last show with Denise. And man, I'm just so proud of what she's done. Like it makes me so happy because she's a great person. John Moxley defeated Orange Cassidy, and I love the way this match played out too. First off, Marina Shafir killing it in this role. John Moxley, Orange Cassidy, getting right to it. Orange Cassidy bleeding early. This is my second favorite. Orange Cassidy does the light kicks thing. Because Sting, the back and forth there, was probably my favorite. But Orange Cassidy bleeding from his skull. And then doing it, rolling through Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch. A beach break that was so quick, it was almost like a back body drop. I'll tell you another thing I liked. John Moxley, little things like this, presentation, view, go a long way for me. I have long said, one, I don't know if AEW's lighting rig is different because it's square and WWE's a circle or vice versa, but the lighting in AEW is much different. But it's also different because behind their video screens and in their cavernous areas, they don't have the individual lights like WWE does. Watch WWE and you'll see like behind their Tron, they've got little individual lights that give a little bit more light or life to the show. In AEW, quite frankly, I feel like everybody wears black. And it really kind of drags down the show a little bit because everybody looks the same. John Moxley switching it up, wearing the green, is a little more militant. I like that because that's sort of what he's doing. Now, after a couple of months of seeing John Moxley doing what he's doing, he won the match. Death Riders, that's what they're called, got involved. But then you see the conglomeration get involved. I'm like, all right, they're lovable. Rocky hitting that big dive was great. Willow getting involved, going after Marina. There's another non-title feud you got going on there. Because at some point, somebody on the AEW roster has to look at Marina and say, I can take you. Yeah, you're intimidating, but like, you weren't unbeatable. There were other people that were able to put you on your ass. Now, I don't think Marina has lost since. Gosh, let me look. Marina has not lost a singles match since December 27th last year. But, you know, Willow's looking at her and saying, I saw Ruby Soho whoop that ass. She's beaten her before. She beat Marina Shafir 2 years ago on AEW Dark. Willow has beaten, as I look, Willow has beaten Marina Shafir in singles and tags 4 or 5 times. So she should have that confidence, right? Absolutely should have that confidence. So glad to see that. John Moxley wins a good match. Man, this 19 minutes flew by for me. Flew by. And the crowd was there for it. So afterwards, John Moxley and the Death Riders hit the bricks, right? They're getting out of there. But they got people coming after them, attacking them. Darby Allin T-boning their vehicle and them taking off. Darby Allin got a big pop. I've often wondered, like, how will he do as a top, top, top guy? Like, his passion is clearly there. You know, the size, it doesn't matter when you put everything into your offense like he does. He puts every pound of his weight into that offense. Darby dropping F-bombs, as Amos says. He slammed his skateboard onto a car window and got busted open, which will happen because it's real glass. Cry a river, I guess, but got a good reaction. I'm not used to seeing like an angle like this end AEW, and let's be real, sometimes when it does, like the Eddie Kingston, John Moxley thing, didn't end up great. But these are people that we know care about AEW. Orange Cassidy has been an AEW guy. Darby Allin has been a ride or die AEW guy. Daniel Garcia proved that he was a ride or die AEW guy. Thought it was a good main event. Interested in the angle. I mean, in a vacuum and on its own, I thought that ended up very well. We'll see how it's followed up on and how that interest is maintained. I'm very excited to see how AEW's TV product carries over to the more intimate venues. Very interested. So we talked about the end of the show, but I want to go back a little bit. I want to go backwards. Because there's an angle that is clearly going to carry over to the next pay-per-view. As all this hell is breaking loose, Hangman Page is out there with a chair and he takes out Wheeler Yuta, who helped cost Orange Cassidy the match, by the way. So that feud will continue as well. Hangman Page, listen, he's a very confusing guy, but he just lost to Switchblade. So he's going after the world champ? Ah, doesn't make any sense. Well, yeah, it does. And here's how. I don't know if he arranged for Christian to come out, but Christian comes out. He's got his contract. And he says, I'll give you the first shot. Hangman immediately goes, bet. Gotcha. Let's do it. Well, until Switchblade comes out and attacks him and attacks Christian. Because why should Hangman, the guy that he just beat, why should he get one up? Why should Hangman, who just lost, get that opportunity? Just because he was there? So he's going to prevent Christian from even having that opportunity. Looks like we're getting a fatal four-way there. That would be good. I would like for them to add sort of a creative reason why Hangman would lose and be introduced into the title picture. But we're talking about Jay White, who did lose to Christian, has had the match, you know, with Bang Bang Gang against Hangman and Christian Cage. We've seen the Christian and Hangman integration. We've seen Jay White beat Hangman, a main eventer, twice. Christian has the contract. And now people are starting to say, okay, there's some holes in the armor of the Death Riders. Very interested in this angle, too. I want them to make a little more sense of it, but I think that'll happen. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much for joining me. I want to thank our partners, BetOnline, NordVPN.com/Fightful, Blue Chew, and Manscaped. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. If you like what we do, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I can't tell you how important that is. Ad rates don't mean anything. Twitter doesn't pay anything. That's the reality. YouTube clicks and views don't pay much. They take 30% off Super Chat. FightfulSelect.com is the most direct way to support us. Please check that out. Alex Palowski and SP3 did a review behind the paywall as well. Kate did a lot of great coverage there at the show. I want to thank our social media team and, of course, our writing team. Check out Fightful Select. We had a preview show as well. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.